Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, the opposition continues to question the government over the Mark Norman case.
Here we are, 5 days later, still no answers from the Prime Minister. Will he get up today and answer this question, or will he appear before the Defence Committee, start answering some questions on this?
The fight over carbon pricing heats up as Ontario releases a TV ad taking aim at the federal government.
Ontario has a better way, holding the biggest polluters accountable, reducing trash, and keeping our lakes clean. A carbon tax isn't the only way to fight climate change.
And as the trade dispute continues between the United States and China, will Canada get caught in the middle?
We are taking in tens of billions of dollars. We've never done that before with China. We've never done that before with anybody, frankly, because we've been taken advantage of on all of our trade deals, practically.
It's Tuesday, May the 14th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Susan Delacourt, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mark.
So we're learning more and more, little by little, about the Mark Norman case and some of the circumstances that led to the charge against him being stayed. The opposition continues to ask a lot of questions. Are we ever going to find out the whole story? And do you think this is something that is resonating with Canadians outside the parliamentary precinct?
Oh, those are really good questions. First of all, are we going to find out more? It does seem we're learning a little bit more day by day, raising a really good question about why the RCMP was not learning this same information day by day in all those 2 years that Mark Norman was charged. It does seem now that all the information was not available to the RCMP or not sought out by the RCMP. Do we ever really find out why the RCMP does what it does or doesn't do what it doesn't do? There's not a great track record of that in Canada. Their investigations into their own ways of doing things tend to be kind of private. So it may well be that we're not going to find out much more except what gets out through the media. Again, raising questions about why Mark Norman was charged in the first place and why he had to go through this. The Conservatives, as we know, are trying for an emergency debate at Defence Committee. I would say, judging by the experience the Prime Minister's office had with SNC-Lavalin, in which there are many parallels to this case, we're not going to see the government being all that eager to see a full airing of this at a committee, and they do have the power to block that. So,
right.
I would say no. So the Prime Minister is coming to question period today. I think I read for the first time since all of this story broke. But he's not famous for giving many answers in question period anyway.
Yeah.
So it'll be more theater today, I would imagine.
All right, let's turn to carbon pricing. Yesterday, the Ontario government launched a new series of ads, television ads, criticizing the federal government's carbon plan, similar to radio ads they had previously released. And this creates an ongoing and interesting dynamic where we've got different levels of government using taxpayers' money to fight this battle. And I know there are polls that show Canadians don't like that. And I guess the question becomes, what is this about, ultimately? Because it's unlikely that the provincial governments, based on a court ruling we've seen already, are going to be successful in stopping the federal government from implementing this carbon tax. So ultimately, do you think this is a political fight rather than a practical one?
It again, really good question, because there are two dimensions to this battle. And one is legal, as you mentioned, in the courts. And another one is highly political and is being fought in a public relations advertising kind of way. And we've seen this in Ontario in particular with stickers on the gas pumps. And Doug Ford and his government are saying they are just using taxpayer dollars to advertise what they believe and what is government policy. There used to be pretty strict rules in Ontario about overly partisan advertising, but the Wynne government watered them down extensively so that you could kind of do government advertising that made the government look good. The conservatives came to power vowing to beef those rules up again, to not allow partisan advertising with taxpayer dollars, but they seem to have delayed that in time to do this. What a more interesting question is at the federal level is this really, does this amount to pre-election spending? Doug Ford has been really, really clear that he wants to see Justin Trudeau defeated. And he's taken out ads that basically say Justin Trudeau is stupid for doing this. If he was, if Andrew Scheer took out these ads, they would, in any kind of pre-election or election period, they would count as bona fide election advertising. If a third party took this out, a nonprofit group or someone took out these ads, they would be subject to limits as well. Provinces, I was phoning around yesterday about this, provinces don't count for anything. So this is a Mack truck through our election spending, advertising spending limits. And if Doug Ford wants to, he can run these ads all the way up to October and they would not count as election spending. So Andrew Scheer is probably pretty happy about that, that it doesn't come out of his pocket, but premiers such as Doug Ford or Jason Kenney or any of the other conservative premiers could use these ads to fight Justin Trudeau in the next election.
Fascinating. All right, let's talk a little bit about the tariff war that has erupted between the United States and China and the extent to which Canada is being caught in the middle here. Of course, there's nothing simple about this. It's an intricate situation. It involves Huawei and the executive that was detained in Canada, facing an extradition hearing, Meng Wanzhou, and it does feel a little bit like Canada is on the sidelines, waiting to see how this all turns out.
So a very interesting thing happened a few days ago, though, where we got, we get these emails that says when the Prime Minister has talked to world leaders. We got one this morning saying he'd been talking to Microsoft, the head of Microsoft, in advance of a summit later this week in Paris. But we got two last week that were interesting, and they were the Prime Minister had been talking to Donald Trump, and the subject of their discussions, it's never said in detail what they discussed, but China was about both. What's happening in the United States, as we're seeing every night on CNN and other networks, is that the U.S.-China battle is heating up. And as that takes place, Trump, it seems, is looking around the world to see who his allies are. And I'm told, I was asking around about it yesterday, that Trudeau has been using this occasion as well to talk to Donald Trump and say, look, while you're talking to China, we're your biggest ally. We'd like you to remind China that they've got our Canadians detained over there. We've got two now facing a death sentence. And we got caught up in this extradition case because of you. It looks like Trump did raise it, as far as I can tell from the cryptic ways that Trump did raise it with China, did remind them that that there are these outstanding issues, that United States was on Canada's side in many of these battles. And then he phoned Trudeau the next day to follow up. We don't know exactly what Trump said to Trudeau, but I'm told it was a friendly, cordial conversation and that Trump is trying, like many other world leaders, to back up Canada in this case.
Interesting. All right. Just before we let you go, Susan, there's a new poll out from Nanos Research this morning, and I think there are two interesting gaps in the poll. One is that the Conservatives lead the Liberals by 5 points. The Conservatives at 35, the Liberals at 30. The other is that the Greens are at 11%, only 4 points behind the NDP at 15%. That might be the more interesting gap of the two.
Yeah, this is, we have seen the Green and NDP battle heating up in recent days, and we saw Jagmeet Singh come out very strongly yesterday, or more forcefully than usual, on the NDP and climate plans. They'll be doing more of they want Canada to declare a climate emergency. They're doing a motion in the House this week, later this week about that. So it explains why you're seeing so much, the NDP moving so much farther on environmental issues. The conservative liberal one is also interesting. It means we've got a really tight race because it all depends on where the parties are demonstrating strength. You know, that that gap is obviously worrying to the Prime Minister's office and heartening to the Conservatives. But I always remind people, back in 2015, polls around now were showing that Tom Mulcair was going to be the next Prime Minister of Canada, and we know how that turned out. So I'm wary of believing polls in May.
Good point. Still interesting, though.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Susan, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, Mark.
That's Susan Delacourt, Ottawa Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star.
China's at an all-time low, and all the Prime Minister is willing to do is to blame the Americans.
Now, let's take a look at what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In an editorial, the Hamilton Spectator argues, consumers suffer most in Donald Trump's tariff follies. The Spectator writes, Trump's trade fight with China has left the United States vulnerable to an economic crisis in the long term. There will be no avoiding higher costs for U.S. consumers. Stores that had already raised prices will continue to do so, and those that had tried to absorb the higher cost will find it impossible to protect their customers. And Canada will not be spared fallout in this spat. In an editorial, Maclean's argues, if the Liberals want to do politics differently, they should put an end to omnibus bills. Maclean's writes, Justin Trudeau strode to victory on a promise to do things differently from Stephen Harper, but it has become impossible to say which is which when it comes to abuses of parliamentary democracy. Omnibus bills were once a major point of distinction between the Conservative and Liberal parties, but Trudeau is now making Liberal use of omnibus bills himself for all the discreditable reasons he once threw at Harper. Mimicry meet hypocrisy. In the Globe and Mail, Eleanor Sloan argues the United States needs to be a key part of Canada's next-generation jet procurement process. Sloan writes, according to letters released last week, the U.S. threatened to pull the Lockheed Martin F-35 from consideration last year over the federal government's insistence that Canada receive industrial benefits from the winning bid. Ottawa has now relaxed that requirement. Our relationship with the United States, both in terms of geopolitics and military technology, is crucial. Despite our trade tiff, they remain our most important strategic partner. Canada can either take an active part in our own security or leave it to the United States. Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. The Prime Minister will attend the cabinet meeting and question period today, followed by a reception in Stoney Creek, Ontario, where the President of Croatia will be speaking. This evening, the Prime Minister leaves for Paris. Finance Minister Bill Morneau will attend question period in the Senate. In Ottawa, Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will take part in the inauguration of the Rideau Canal Promenade exhibit. And Employment Minister Patty Hajdu will host a job fair in Ottawa. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Tuesday, May the 14th. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.